on the inside. She got the scoop on the ones to watch, on the ones that's hot. No one can do it quite like Caroline. Caroline. No one can do it quite like Caroline. It's time for Caroline.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to Hyper Caroline Hobby. I am your host, Caroline Hobby. I know music, I know people, and I know the questions you want to ask. So let's get hyper. Heads up, these are adults having adult conversations, so there could be adult content. I am so excited to have Maggie Rose in the house. Not only is she just like a style icon, I love her style and fashion. She's amazing. She just got announced that she's on CMT's Next Women Tour with Martina McBride and Lauren Elena. It just kicked off, killing it. Postman Rose also on that tour. She was named CMT's 17 to Watch for 2017. She's also one of CMT's Next Women of Country. She is going to be playing a couple of shows with Faith and Tim this year. Are you kidding me? On their Soul to Soul tour. I can't handle it. She really is killing it. This is Maggie's year, so you guys get excited. There is so much that we talk about. Her story is insane. Here is Maggie Rose. I am here with the beautiful, the talented Maggie Rose.
Caroline.
She's the reason for the word love.
Love. Yes, that's what I was going to say. That's the lyric. It's what it should be.
I know. Exactly.
If only they knew you.
Yes.
Got to rewrite it.
We got to rewrite it. I got to talk to Outkast about that.
Yeah. We'll pencil that in.
So you hear a dog bark. We're at my house and there are two dogs roaming free. They might
speak
our guests, up.
Our co-stars.
They today. Are our co-stars today because Maggie likes a party, right?
Yes, always, especially with Ruby and Sugar. They're the greatest.
Okay, so I want to start off with a few questions.
Okay.
So just answer the first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay. I always learn about myself with these kinds of questions, too.
They're very good,
never
right?
No.
Okay. Dream duet.
Dream duet. Living or dead? Or living or...
Anyone.
Okay. Frank Sinatra.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I know that might be kind of basic, but I think it's because he's classic. Everyone wants to... have a duet with Frank Sinatra. He just oozes
everything.
Je ne sais quoi. Only he has. Only Frank.
How does only Frank have it?
I don't know. I think it's this confidence that he had from an early age. He knew he was great and he just carried that through his whole career. And my grandparents, who I just lost 7 weeks apart earlier this year.
Do you think they died of a heart of
yes.
a heartbreak?
Yeah, I actually
that's romantic.
Wrote a song about it and I put a Sinatra reference in the chorus because that was some music that really brought them together from, you know, when they met to their last days. So
that is so sweet.
Yeah.
It's like the Notebook love.
It was a little heartbreaking to
first?
See them go. My grandmother.
And your grandpa just couldn't do it.
Yeah. So it was September 30th. And then about 7 weeks later, and he had such a zest for life. So they were married for 64 years. And he stuck around long enough to put up a tree at his house and carry on the tradition that we always carried on my dad's side of the family. We'd spend that day with me, mom, peepaw. But I was actually home. I was lucky enough to be home for a show on December 3rd, and he passed that weekend. So I got to say goodbye. He didn't see me, but I was there. So, yeah.
That's the best you could have, though, for when we have to pass on. That's the best case scenario.
It was like the exclamation point to the end of 2016 for me. I think not to jump into it right away.
Let's jump into it. Tell me about 2016.
I've spoken about this so much. I think that
tell me about what happened in 2016.
I set the table for this year.
I
really
love
believe that.
Phrasing it like that.
It was like my whole goal last year was to get ready for this year where I was going to share music again. And I think there was a lot of behind the scenes work being done. Not that I'm really fond of that term because I think that everything is important, whether a lot of people are observing you doing it or if it's your own personal journey. But it was writing music and I got married and I bought my catalog back.
How great is that to have all your songs?
It is amazing. And that happened like over Christmas break. So I feel like I haven't quite gotten a break between some emotional hardships and ups and downs and, you know, I was writing music for myself and I officially got to start writing music for other
and
people.
And the variety show.
Yes. That, yeah. I mean, that was like kind of the start to the year.
That was
April.
Such a great start because you released music, the variety show, which was so good. Tell me about that and what was the inspiration behind the variety show?
I hadn't released any music since 2013. So this was last April, 2016. And I had just been writing and writing all this material, and it was all over the place. I think it was the first time in my career that I gotten to a point where I could just express myself creatively.
Like you didn't have anyone telling you what you need to do, what doesn't work,
right.
What does.
Well, and there were different goals earlier on. It wasn't that people around me were trying to keep me from being anything. It's just that we were being strategic. We were trying to, you know, also be successful from a business perspective and fulfill me creatively, and it's really hard to do. Yeah, Ruby knows.
It's hard to be little like her.
And I think that I was really young when I came to Nashville, and
And you've had several record deals.
I have.
Have you had three?
I've had four, actually.
Four record deals, because you started at like 17?
Yes, I started professionally singing with a Bruce Springsteen tribute band. They're actually the B Street Band, who got embroiled in this whole political web of the ones who agreed to do the gig for Trump.
Oh gosh.
But they agreed 4 years ago, and they did it for Obama 8 years ago. And
oh
it was
my
just
gosh.
Something that
so you were in that band?
I was part of the band that they're their own thing. I just opened up with them and they would back me, and I'd do my own originals or other songs that I like, because I was a 16-year-old.
That's a great place
going
to start,
Catholic
too.
School with no other place. The only place I had ever had to perform was church or choirs and secular music. I was not performing at bars, and until I met those guys, I didn't really know or appreciate what it was to be a performer.
Did they give
the
you a
moment.
Lot of? Did they teach you a lot? And where did you meet them? Where? Tell me where you're from.
So I'm from Potomac, Maryland.
Potomac, Maryland.
Yes, like the Potomac River.
The Potomac River, Maryland.
Yes.
Okay.
Although it reads like Potomac, but it's Potomac.
So you're from Potomac.
Yes.
Did you meet them there?
I did. So, rewinding way back, I had and I still have a business partner who's been an advocate of mine for a long time, but in the earlier years he was investing in me financially, which is a beautiful thing. He believed in me as an artist and a singer, and his family got behind me and
That's
made
awesome.
The first few years a lot easier.
Yes.
I will say
yes.
We had no idea what we were doing, but we knew that we had passion and music and talent.
So in the beginning, were you writing your own songs?
I was.
Okay.
And some of them you will never hear. In fact, most of them you'll never hear.
So you've been writing songs from a really young age.
Yes. Yeah. But until I came to Nashville, I realized what it really takes to be a writer. And I think having all the resources here of either people who are amazing writers or singers or musicians really accelerated my development, and it's
yes.
like baptism by fire when I'm
right
here.
So that was kind of your first record deal with
yes.
the you had an investor who kind of he started a label for you,
right.
in other words.
And then
the same time
well,
that you're singing
that
with
actually,
the cover band.
I got a singles deal with Universal Republic,
and you covered you somebody
yes
from Kings of Leon, which was so good. You did a different version. I will never forget when you
Thank
did that.
You.
It was so great. How did you decide to do that?
Well, actually. And this harkens back to how young I was. I was connected with Tommy Mottola.
Oh, he is
on.
Like Mariah Carey.
Yes.
All of them. Who else? Was he married
he
to
was
Mariah?
He was married to Mariah.
Yeah.
I think Michael Jackson was not a fan of his at the end of his career, but he's an amazing man. I think
and he knows
pop
talent.
Culturally, those are the references that a lot of people know, but he
yes.
ran Sony. And
so you were linked up with him?
I was. And it was
wow.
very strange how it happened. And
Let's
like,
hear
I don't
it.
Ever really talk about it, because he just introduced me. He wasn't really part of my career beyond our initial meeting and him helping me make network connections with James Stroud, who was one of the producers on my first record.
Which he also then signed you to Stratovarius.
Right.
Which
yes.
was imprint under...
It was under then R&J Records.
Okay.
So it wasn't an imprint, it was Stroud's label.
Okay. So is that the second record now?
Yes.
So Tommy Mottola introduced you to James Stroud?
Mm-hmm.
How did that
so
meeting
the singles
happen?
Deal,
I want to know how you got that room situation. How are y'all all in the same room?
So I basically was writing from an early age and performing.
Are you in Nashville at this point?
Not yet.
Not yet.
I was at Clemson.
Okay. You're in college now.
Yes.
First record deal's done.
Hasn't happened. So the timeline is...
Okay.
I know I'm being really confusing.
No, tell
and sometimes
us the
timeline. When I think about it, I'm like, what order did this happen in?
Okay. So just, to break down the timeline.
So I start playing with the B Street Band, get connected with my investor. We haven't struck a deal or a record deal or any formal agreement on how we're going to do this. We're just like, we're going to Nashville.
And, okay.
Before I make that move, because I am invested in my career at Clemson at that point, I was in the middle of my sophomore year. Everyone from my family goes to college or went to college. So the concept of leaving to go to Nashville was a scary one and very unconventional.
So did you bail on Clemson?
I did.
Said peace out.
I said peace out, but I wasn't going to just sling a guitar over my shoulder and be like, I'm going to Nashville with like a hobo stick. My parents were like, you need to lay down a foundation of, where are you going to live? Who are you going to work with? What's the game plan? And now we realize that you can do all of that
it's
and
so
just
nice.
Throw it out the window. But
nice
it was
to
nice.
Try to be prepared.
Yeah.
Good intentions there.
Yeah. Your plans in the music industry are like always laughable.
Hilarious.
But ambition is not. So
right. True
I
that.
Think, you know, they knew that I was hell bent on doing this. And if I was going to deviate from the conventional path that most Potomac natives follow, then I would had to be serious about it. So I was able to, with my investor at the time, my business partner, find a way to get to Tommy Mottola. We
how did you find
someone
that way?
Who knew someone who knew someone who basically
was he the goal?
A house next to Tommy in Aspen. It was like 7 degrees of separation and nothing really professional.
Did y'all like fly to Aspen
rooted.
Or knock on his door?
No, but that would have been not past like the realm of
was he the goal? Was he the one you were wanting to meet?
He was the only one that we could even think of as a contact. And yes, he's way high on the totem pole,
okay.
But we were so far removed from anyone within the industry just because we were out writing and performing and gigging with this band doesn't mean we had any idea what we were doing from
right.
a business perspective.
But I love that you're just fearless. Okay, so you got 7 degrees to Tommy Mottola.
Yes.
You finally get there.
I get some original music through to him that I've recorded in some studio in New Jersey. And Tommy hears the potential in the vocals.
And you
the
were
melody.
Young at this point. How old?
I was a baby. I was 18, not yet 19.
So he hears it at 18. That's
yes.
a big deal for Tommy Mottola to have some random girl getting the music to him. And he actually likes it.
Yes.
And that's
awesome. I'm sure that there was like a political push through with this contact of ours. It was like, no, really listen to this. I know. Just do me this favor. But he liked it. And
so we'll take it.
That's amazing. His assistant called me when I was on my way to class.
Did you fall out the frame?
I did. I didn't go to class that day.
I can imagine.
But it's such a small little piece of the journey. I think that it's like if I thought that things were going to happen the way that Tommy laid them out, 6 months, you're going to release a single, we're going to put an album out. Like none of that happened.
So he had a quick release for you.
He had big plans, but he really was not involved.
Okay.
Made the connection with James Stroud.
So he was like, I'm going to link you up with James Stroud?
Yes. Laura Stroud was part of the A&R department at Sony when Tommy was involved with the Dixie Chicks.
Okay.
So.
Okay. And that's James's wife.
Yes. Well, not anymore.
Oh, wait, that was his former wife. Okay.
Yes.
Right. At the time.
Yeah. I know. It's crazy. I feel like.
It's good. We're piecing it together.
Yeah. And
okay.
So anyway, that was forever and ever and ever ago. I wish I could give Tommy more credit, but he really didn't have anything more to do with.
But sometimes
what we're
an
doing.
Introduction from someone like that is a big, I mean, that goes a long way.
Yes.
So James now is
well,
like on board.
I go from having no contacts in Nashville to then all of a sudden having Laura Stroud and James Stroud, Laura being such an amazing publisher, her ear for a song, she taught me so much about taste and what the difference between a good song and a great song.
That's awesome and valuable information.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, you know, I went one way at a certain point, she went another, and we've connected now In the weirdest way, I work with Narvel Blackstock. He's my manager now.
And he does Blake Shelton.
He does Blake Shelton and Kelly. And
oh, Kelly Clarkson.
Yes.
Good company.
Yeah, just one. Sorry. Kelly Clarkson. I'm like, no last name
Kelly
needed.
No last name needed. I mean, really, there's not much of a last name needed.
Right. And he is just very smart and patient. Love that about him. I think that that's a testament to just his... He's a veteran of this industry, but he's also fresh. His perspective and his son, Brandon, I think they make a great
team. He's married to Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah, that's right.
So cute.
And it's just like two generations coming together. My husband works at Starstruck now.
How great is that?
He has someone to now be a buffer between us because he was managing me in the interim when my last label folded. So RPM, the last song I ever put out with them was... Girl in Your Truck song, which I love the writers of that song, but that was one of those things where
it was a great song.
I didn't feel
great
like
idea,
I was 100%
though.
Behind the meaning of the song. Right. I thought it was a great
very clever
gateway hit to all this other stuff that I was about to release. And then unfortunately it was like that time where you had to be, you know, either pro bro country or pro traditional. And there's nothing in between. And I'm like, this is not how we operate. That's not how music is. And it's unfortunate that so many people identify artists now based on one single or one radio song.
I know, it's so cutthroat.
And, you know, I think you are a musician and you're married to a musician. You know that there's a lot of depth that you wish you could see. It's just people's attention spans are... We're trained to be like used to listening to music that way.
I know.
So that's sort of like a way long answer to get back to the variety show.
And also though, Laura. So how did you reconnect with Laura Stroud?
Well, Laura and I have always just been really good friends. And I felt like I was at this time where I was being creative and writing all these songs. And I wanted her opinion as a publisher and someone who, you know, really taught me how to hear a good song. And I reached back out to her, and this guy, I was at dinner with her, and it was Narvel, because she and James had split in a very amicable way, but she and Narvel were together. So I was almost like,
"This is like
Narvel better be good to her." Like, you know,
I've heard
this guy's great, but, you know, Laura was my girl. And even now since we've been working together, she's so respectful of what he does and what I do, but she's also one of the smartest people ever. So
how crazy that you worked with her for your first real, I guess, record with Stradivarius.
Yes.
And now you're working with her again in a totally different situation.
I mean, we're...
With Narvel, your manager.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy.
She's meant to be in your life.
She's absolutely meant to be in my life. And I feel like her opinion is as valuable to me now as it ever was. But she really was my... She helped me in my most developmental stages early on. And then I think that my last 2 years of being a totally independent artist have also been like times of tough growth, but freedom that I've been able to sort of surprise myself. It's been really cool.
And that's what the variety show came out of. Okay, but before we get there, so then you meet Tommy Mottola introduces you to James Stroud. So now... Is that one record altogether? Your investor with James Stroud? Are you straight on Stradivarius, his label? How does that happen?
I was first signed to Universal Republic with the singles deal, and that was orchestrated by Tommy and Doug Morris. But I was working with staff that was about to be Republic Nashville here and also people out of New York. It was not effective.
But how exciting, though, to have a record deal.
It was exciting,
deal
but like...
From Tommy Mottola. And
I look back
Universal.
On it now, and I'm like, I've had record deals. I probably wouldn't have taken that one today.
Right.
And I don't think that my investor, Tom, would have taken it either because...
So he was investing with Universal?
No. We were just... There was the potential for his investment after.
Okay. Okay.
They eventually got him to invest. So it was just like this.
It's just a lot of factors.
And I believe moving forward, like, people need to have skin in the game. If you're going to team up with anyone, then there's got to be a mutual sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, either financial or passionate about what you're doing or your reputation on the line. I mean, you're asking so much of both people, the artist and the team, to get behind it
right.
and share it with the world, get it to the world, that I don't think I'll ever be in a situation where I was, you know, having to put all the investment in and invest in, like, of my time and my life and my heart. It's like, I think I just hurt a little too much. I felt a little too much for a while.
Okay, so y'all put out You Somebody, though. That mm-hmm. was a Kings of Leon song. How did you decide to cover that song?
I didn't. Okay. I was told to do that.
Well, it sounded great.
Thank you. But I think it was one of those things that I had another song ready to go, and if I wasn't going to get to do that, I was going to do my damnedest to make this opportunity
count.
Sound the best that it could, because, listen, it's not, oh, poor me, I got a deal and I had to do a different song than I was going to do. I still had an opportunity that a lot of people wish that they could have gotten.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of artists out there who would be patient with the process.
Right.
And, you know, hope that you do something and you get to do what you really want later.
That's totally
something I think every artist can buy into at one point in mm-hmm. their career. And sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't.
Okay, so that comes out. And then what happened after You Somebody came out?
So then I think I could just basically condense the following 3 years into, okay. you know, just one indie label from the next. And it was a tumultuous time in Nashville, and it only got worse. But
why did it only get worse?
Just, I think, indie labels.
It was hard. Indie labels weren't really able to get artists up the charts like they can now.
Right.
I feel like. Do you kind of feel that way?
Yeah, I think it was extremely political. It continues to be a little bit, but I also think that there are people out there, tastemakers, who are exposing people who wouldn't necessarily be up on that pedestal that they would be on if they were the chosen one at a major label.
Absolutely.
And
like some heavy hitter radio people, like John Marks is doing that with Sirius.
Right. And John Marks was amazing to me. I think John Marks was someone who, and he continues to be at Spotify, but he just played a song. The criteria was, does he like it or not?
Yeah.
It wasn't, oh, all the other bullshit that goes into like every decision that, you know, like a radio station would have to make where their hands were tied. And I think even the most influential people at radio probably hate a lot of things about the system.
Totally.
And then they get crucified for it. It's like every business is going to have those drawbacks. Does
right.
that mean you're going to stop making music?
No way.
It's like, okay, that sucks about that, but I'm sure that it will work in my favor someday.
Exactly. You
and
just
then I'll love
keep
it.
Going.
It's like, whatever.
So at some point you were Margaret Durante.
Yes.
And then you had a big change and right. you switched and you reemerged.
And now I just keep changing.
As Maggie Rose, though. And you came out with a new song, I Ain't Your Mama.
That's right.
So that was in the middle of all the indie deals.
Yes. So that was actually at
Which I
RPM.
Love that song, I Ain't
Thank
Your Mama.
You
were sassy, hot. The vocals were great. Song was
Thank
great.
Thank you. I wish I still had that leopard dress. I don't have it anymore.
It was so smoking.
thank you.
Yeah.
I know. I think my dad was like, what the hell is that? Like the first time he saw the video. But, you know, we grown up. I'm a grown ass woman.
Yes, you are.
But that was really fun for me. And I think that it was more an act of like, you know, John Carmonica, he said this and he wrote this. He's for the New York Times. So I was like, okay, I believe him, what he says. But he said it perfectly. He's like, I feel like it was more of an act of liberation for her than reinvention. It's just like, that was the more authentic thing for me. And yes, I think if you look at it on paper, it can seem contrived to be like, oh, you're changing your name and your look. But I was kind of untethering myself from all the mistakes that had been made up to that point.
Because you started
which was,
so young, you didn't even know what you were probably doing
yes,
at that point.
And, you know, we were throwing a lot of money at the wrong things, and we were making compromises financially and artistically. And had I really even had time to write something from like my soul? I didn't know what love was at that point. I
oh,
hadn't
yeah.
had my heart broken. But by that point, when I started going by Maggie Rose, I had seen a lot.
Yeah.
And I had been surprised by people and in wonderful ways and disappointed by people and others.
You
but
really started to get into the throes of life.
Yes. And I even feel like the last year was like this is going to sound so stupid and cheesy, but it was like the Maggie Rose 2.0 reinvention last year for me, because not that every time I cut my hair, it means
I love
anything significant,
like,
but it was just another thing that I was like, all right, what else can I do? How versatile can we be? Because that, to me, flexibility in this industry is what keeps you sane.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a flexible mind is a healthy mind just in general.
That.
But it's also like more lighthearted. The more of a chameleon I can be, then I think it doesn't mean I'm unfocused. I think it just means that I'm forgiving of myself and of those boundaries that we all put around ourselves.
I love that.
I'm having a really good time.
You seem like you're better than ever. But tell me, where did
but
Maggie Rose
you, like,
come
going
from?
Back to like the early days, did you see how confused I got? I was like, and then.
Well, there's just so many pieces.
I can't remember really.
Okay, there's so many pieces of the puzzle. Honestly, I had to write a timeline of my life the other day. Like from this year to this year, I did this because it starts to blur together.
Mm-hmm.
And same with you. Like you have so many pieces in your life and so many players.
There's a lot of moving parts.
You have so many record deals, so many like people that have like invested in you that believe in you. You know, where did Maggie Rose come from?
Maggie is just derived from Margaret.
Okay.
My dad always called me Maggie, and Rose is my middle name. And Durante, people, for some reason, I always thought it was easy to pronounce growing up, but of course, that's like my biased perspective. But no one could ever pronounce it.
They're like Durante.
Yeah. And that is, I think my Italian ancestors would like that, but Durante or Durant or.
Just a million options.
You know, and also, like, I think that there's something nice about having that persona. I feel like until you fake it till you make it,
mm-hmm.
if I have fun as a character and I'm like, I'm meant to bring people joy and entertain them, then that's the role I need to fill. That's who I need to be. So, you know, when I'm hanging out with you and I'm hanging out with Austin and stuff, I'm Maggie, I'm Marge, I'm Mags, I'm Margaret, I'm all the things, but Maggie Rose kind of helped me get into that mindset. That, like, this is not a hobby. This is for real. There is marketing behind it. There is a brand, and people shouldn't be embarrassed, other artists, of assuming that persona.
I agree.
It doesn't mean you're inauthentic. If anything, it means that you have a focus and an appreciation for what we're doing.
And I think too, having a persona, like a stage persona, honestly, Michael has it when he puts on his hat.
Yes.
You know, it's like all of a sudden
you know it's game time when he puts that hat on.
You switch into like, okay, I'm here to rock people's faces.
Right.
Because you have to pep yourself up for
yeah.
it. You can't just walk out there as your average Joe and be like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna sing a couple of songs. I mean, you can, but if you really want to be the entertainer like I know you do, you have, it's like Beyonce has Sasha Fierce.
Oh yes.
You know?
Yes.
I totally get behind that. Okay, so you had all of that happen, like just like, I feel like it was like a, you're swirling. It's all
it
happening.
Like the early 20s.
The
you
early
know how
20s.
Pivotal, like 18 to 23 was.
Oh, so many things happened for
I
you
was
then.
I was 23 when I started going by Maggie Rose. I was at the end of my 23rd year or whatever. And I just feel like it was those really dynamic years where you become an adult a little bit, and then the last couple have been like that other big transitional period too, where I feel like instead of having to posture and do the persona of okay, now it's time to be Maggie Rose,
you just
it's
are
just
now.
Like, yeah, and
you
it's
just are Maggie Rose. Like, did you know that you are yourself?
What?
You really are though, and I love the short hair because it takes a badass
Thank
to pull
you.
It off.
Although,
it looks
like,
amazing.
Sometimes I want to just glue this to my head.
No, you
not really. That sounds
you
violent.
Rock it. Like you rock it, and it's your thing, and it's edgy, and it's hot, and it looks so good on
Thank
you.
Thank you.
But aren't you kind of glad that you've got all that just swirl of stuff, figuring it
it's
out? Like
just
now
like,
you know. You know what crazy. You want to do. You know you've been through the ringer. But the thing that's so cool. You've consistently had powerhouses believe in you. So there is something that everyone sees in you that they always want to be a part of, which is so such a compliment, I feel like.
Well, thank you for saying that. I do think that my team right now is unbelievable. I also don't feel like like I said last year, I was setting the table, but I wasn't like, okay, I need this manager and this agency.
Did it all
it
just
was
fall
just
into place?
Like, Laura coming back into my life, and then Narvel starting to get interested in, okay, what does Maggie have going on? And then coming to my shows, and then he and I started having a great relationship and then started working together and signing with Mark Dennis. And
now, who's that?
He's a badass agent at CAA.
And oh my gosh.
Meredith
so
Jones
awesome.
And Kylan Sharp.
So you have an incredible booking agent
yes,
team.
Yes, they got me on Soul to Soul.
You're going yes. on tour with Faith and Tim?
Yes. So I don't know.
Stop.
When I don't know when you're going to put this up,
stop.
But it's going to be in August. And it's not the whole tour, of course, because they're trying to be really supportive of a bunch of
holy
new
cow.
Acts.
How many shows are you playing with them?
Two in Philadelphia and one in Albany.
You are playing on Soul to Soul.
Out.
No. Are you serious?
I freaked out. Like
Faith and Tim?
It was Thursday morning.
So I'm not ready to recover from this. Okay. Holy cow. You're going on tour Soul to Soul?
It's yes. And Narvel called me and it was Thursday morning early. And I woke up and honestly, I answered his call and he's like, hey, I want to be the first to tell you. He'd probably been up for like 7 hours at that point. He's like, got some good news for a Thursday morning and you're going to be going out with Tim and Faith. And I was in shock. I was like, I just wanted to get tickets to the show. Like that was my goal, was just to make sure that I secured some tickets to the Nashville show.
Oh,
he's like, well, you're going now. So
you're doing the Nashville show?
No, I wish, but
who cares?
I think that I'll be at the Nashville show.
Yeah.
And,
you're going to know them. You're going to sing on the same stage on their tour.
They're legendary to me.
No, and to me too. Like
relationship is legendary.
Exactly.
Two people who can be in the industry and work together and not get competitive about it and keep it together. I'm sure there were times where it wasn't easy, you know,
but they stuck it out.
Like you and I are both,
we're same thing,
married to someone who's in this industry, but at least Austin and I aren't in the position where we compete with each other. It's symbiotic. I need him mm-hmm. to make it work. He needs me, but he's not trying to be an artist.
Right.
I really appreciate and admire
to have a couple that's an artist.
And they're super
artists.
Hot. So I mean,
so
like,
hot.
Come on.
Oh my God. I mean, Faith Hill, I swear to you, is one of the main reasons why I moved to Nashville.
Yes.
Back in the day, I saw her and Shania Twain. And I was like, I got
yes.
to be there. I have got to be there.
I went to both those shows. And those are some of my first concerts I ever
Full
went to.
Full circle. Mm-hmm. You know, I read this quote and it says, don't forget to be thankful for the things you have that you always wish for, or something like that. Things you have now that you always wish for. Like now it feels so cool that you're on that show, but you're also kind of like probably like not shocked.
Well,
you know, like,
I think I'm just, there's like a quiet excitement because I also think it's a combination of nerves and,
yes.
You know, this is going to sound so sad and I don't mean this in a sad way, but I feel like my joke with Sarah Tomek, who you know very well, my drummer, is we call my career, this is totally like my sarcastic humor, but we're like, we should name the next album Dangling Carrot, or the next tour is the Dangling Carrot Tour. Everything's always been the Dangling Carrot because there have been these amazing things that I feel like it's just like, come here, and we're like, and we always just kind of come short from it. But I think that right now where I am, I don't feel that way.
Well,
it's the first time I haven't felt it.
Your whole
like visualizing
life
it.
Was preparing you for this. Like, honestly, if you would have gotten it sooner, you might not have been the artist that you are. You know,
no.
Maybe you hadn't evolved exactly into where you are, into the Maggie Rose that you are, truly.
Right. And I hope that that is something that continues happening because as painful as it can be, it's also really beautiful. And
it is painful, though.
Yes.
It's
and I
exhausting.
Think that, you know, that's all part of it. If I could see my 15-year-old self, I'd be like, hey, everything is part of the process, including the stuff that makes you cry and want to give up. You know, it's also the really high points. Like, you know, I've had some really great things happen lately. And
tell me the greatest things that happened that you can talk about. Because I know a lot of stuff is happening that not all is announced and everything. So, like, you have just a lot of exciting potential.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I obviously told you about this song that I wrote 2.5 years ago that Lady Gaga just cut. Now, until I hear it on the radio, I don't believe it, but I know for a fact that she went into the studio
and put her vocals on it.
Took time off from her Super Bowl rehearsals to cut the song. And I think that no one can ever take that from me. She's,
even if it never makes an album or is even a single or whatever.
Yeah. And I had a hand in writing the song with a bunch of other talented writers, but it was something that I never knew even 2.5 years ago that she would ever hear. And we were writing it for my project, and one of the girls that I wrote it with is also a great artist, and when it didn't look like it was going to happen for me, she was going to cut it, and then someone else had it, and it just sort of floated around. I never thought anything was going to come of it, and right
landed
before Christmas,
in Lady Gaga's hands. I mean,
and like if you asked me to pick any artist who I think is like ballsy and brave right now in our generation, I would say her. I always would, but.
What
it's cool that
amazing compliment, yes. Honor, like, you
it
know,
it freaks me out though. I'm like, okay, that's awesome. Wasn't even really seeking that out. And it's just one of those beautiful things that comes to you when you have your head down and you're working on all this other stuff. I forget about all the seeds that I've been planting.
And maybe they've been watered this whole time. And yeah. What if they all sprout at the same time?
Right. And you know, that being part of this catalog that I own, now that, you know, we, Austin and I, were saving money for our first house, this down payment, and instead we invested in ourselves, and we, with a bunch of family members and family friends, bought it back. And it's just because I wanted to, I didn't want those songs to languish around. I think that, you know, I wrote those while I was at Play It Again, and that was such a great space.
Is that a publishing company?
Yes. Play It Again is a publishing company that Dallas Davidson started. And then, you know, when we parted ways, you know, I can't ever deny that those 2 years that I was there, I wrote my ass off and some of the best songs I've ever written.
You wanted those songs.
Right. Well, and I think that I wanted to see them come to fruition. And I know that if I take that into my hands, then those songs won't sit around, and not that they would necessarily, but I'm making an album, and a lot of that I wrote while I was there. And it's nice that he let me buy it back. But, you know, now I wait to buy my house.
Hey, but, you know what? You can always buy a house, but when yes, you're going to seize the day when
yes,
it comes to
absolutely.
Your art.
And I think that's just like part of the crazy, like, excitement and not drama, but like
taking a risk on
like,
yourself.
Yes. I'm proud to invest in myself that way. And in Austin, I'm pointing that way because my house is over there.
Like, we literally are a stone's throw away. No, it's snowing in Nashville today.
It's snowing.
So, I mean, talk about like freezing. It was sunny and perfect yesterday. Now it's snowing. Nashville's like a woman. You never know what you're going to get. Yeah.
That's very true.
Yeah.
But so, we love it.
We love it. But that's so cool that you and Austin are doing this together as a couple.
Yes.
You know, he's just invested as you are. Like, I feel like that is so great.
Yeah. And I, no problem talking about this, but I'm showcasing for labels in town right now. And I just had one last week that went so well. And the way that we're doing it, because I didn't get here yesterday, I've been here for a long time, is we're just showing all this music that I've been writing. I'm making an album with Jimmy Robbins.
He's amazing.
He's amazing. And we're co-producing it. But basically, I had cut songs before he came in. And I sat around for a while. And I think it's just like anything when you, and I'm sure you've seen this meme, but it's like creative process. It's like, okay, this might be good. This is awesome. This is the best song ever. And then you're like, okay, I don't know. This is shit. I suck. Okay. And it just goes back and forth.
This sucks, then I suck.
Yeah. Then you're just like, I quit. And then back again. And I think, you know, with all the drama of like us relocating to new company,
new management,
new agency, new publishing.
Everything new.
And then our dog got real sick. And I was just like,
that's a heavy load.
We had just gotten married. And
hey, you know what? If you can survive
that. My grandparents and just all this stuff. It was crazy.
Maybe God was like, I'm going to really put you guys through the ringer to just get your marriage nice and strong in the beginning.
Right. So this is from like when I cut the songs in August, I was just doing this by myself, no one helping me produce it. And then I kind of doubted myself for a little bit, and then I got back to a point where I was like, no, this needs to be done. And Jimmy and I wrote together, and it was like, it just became apparent that we had great chemistry. Nicole Clausen and Jimmy and I have written a bunch of songs for the project now. And then in the studio, like, it's just...
And Nicole just wrote, she won Song of the Year with Automatic for Miranda.
She's a freak of nature. I love writing with her. And she'll just, like, be over there kind of typing, then she'll spit out, like, an entire line, and you're like...
All right.
You're like, I love everything about that, and I'm not just... You're like, sometimes I want to censor it just something, so I'm showing that, like, I'm listening.
But you're like,
that
it's
I'm
perfect.
Not just a yes person, but she really is just, like...
Really talented.
Just a beautiful... mind, and not in like the weird movie way where he's like a schizophrenic. She's so smart.
She doesn't actually see other people make up stories about them. Okay.
She's brilliant. And Jimmy, his heart is massive, but he's also a boss. Like in the studio there, it's not mindless production. There are intricate choices being made.
So tell me about the choices being made for this album that you're making. What's it going to sound like? And then tell me this. And then I want to recap on the variety show because we didn't really talk about that album.
I know. You asked me about it and then I went off onto a tangent about it.
It's okay. We'll make our way back around. Tell me about what this album is going to be about.
So this album, the variety show was just something I had to make.
That wasn't traditional country music.
No. And I think some of it wasn't country at all. And a lot of people, you know, you have to check a box when you put a song or album out on iTunes, and given all the time I had invested in country, I was like, well, I'm going to market this to country because that's where my fans are and the people who have supported me. And, you know, some of the people that I probably would never be able to have too long of a conversation with in real life were like, this isn't country. And I was like, I never said it was, but...
It has to be something
on... It's like, you know... The variety show, it was something I had to make just to say I'm not done making music. And
you killed it with that album. Same Sky, I put on repeat over and over and over again.
And not that anyone thought I was done making music, but because that's what we output. I had to put something out. Mm-hmm. And thank you for saying that about Same Sky.
I loved
getting your iPhone videos of you singing it in the car with some friends.
When it came out, I was like, Maggie Rose has arrived. What? This is so good.
Well, and Leslie Fram. And
she's over at CMT, the biggest female advocate in country music.
She's insane. And Stacey Cato and Jordan Walker, like, that whole crew. Oh, I'm going out on the CMT Next Women tour next month.
Huge deal. So Martina McBride's headlining.
Yes.
Talk to me about that.
Martina McBride, who I'm really excited. Her crew has been amazing. They're basically letting us use their gear to play our 20-minute set. And then,
oh my gosh.
Post Monroe, they're at Starstruck as well. And
they're a trio of females who are awesome.
Yes, they're great. And really fun to be around. I'm excited to be on the road with them.
But I love those girls.
Around thing because my guitar player and drummer are gonna play for both of us because there was one or two weekends where I was gonna be in Mexico for a songwriting festival. I know it sounds just terrible. So
got to go sing.
They're gonna play with Post Monroe at those dates too, but it's just like
awesome.
It's right where I want to be, especially at the beginning of the year.
So it's Lauren Elena. It's you and Post Monroe will switch off, and then Lauren Elena and Martina McBride and the CMT Next Women of Country tour.
Yes.
And you also were named CMT Next Women of Country, which is a big deal to get inducted into those classes.
Yeah.
And these are the women to look out for. They're coming through in country music.
That's what I watched growing up. I watched CMT music video countdowns, like... in my friend's basement, and it's really cool to see myself on their countdowns in their Next Women of the Country segment.
Can you even believe
there. It's really I think it's going to be great energy for this.
And Lauren Elena is so
she's
sweet,
awesome.
Positive, just dropped her album.
Yes.
And obviously Martina is Martina. I mean, she's the queen.
I know. I'm pretty excited. I'm hoping to hang out with her.
I bet you will.
She's like this small and her voice is so massive.
I know. Same with you.
Well, thank
Ditto.
You. She's smaller than me. I've been next to her. I'm like, oh, I'm tall today. It's awesome.
How exciting, though, especially coming out of, like you said, 2016 set the table. You had a lot of, like, growing pains and a lot of change. And now it's like, okay, you got your manager. You got your team. You got some incredible tours. Faith and Tim, CMT Next Women tour. Are you just like feeling light as a feather and light ready to rock?
Yes, I am. And getting this album wrapped up and
with a great producer, someone you're jiving with, like
yes, and who genuinely cares about
making it awesome.
The music and
oh, wait, we didn't talk about it. Okay, so tell me about the sound for this album. Variety Show was like, I'm kind of showing you all my sides.
It was all over the place and intentionally.
That's called
so.
The Variety Show.
Yes, and I was gonna do a volume two because at that time I had amassed so much music that I was like, okay, and I'll just put another one out in a couple months. It might be a little more aggressive in the pop direction, but I didn't really have this opportunity, like it hadn't quite formed yet, where I could make this record with Jimmy, and Narvel wasn't in the picture. So at that point I thought I might just really enjoy putting out these crazy kind of like tapestry Carole King things, except I wish Carole King is just like amazing. But I loved that she did that. She was a writer, and I got to a point where I was like, maybe I'll just be like the crazy writer who like performs shows every now and then.
No, you are a performer.
I would have died. I love it. That's such
it's your soul on stage.
And I think it's cyclical for me. I know that, you know, creativity is, but I need to be performing to fill the well so that I can go back and write and vice versa.
I love that.
Like I need to be hibernating and like fat and happy writing and then out on the road in my
lean, like, mean fight machine.
And not quite literally, but yeah, that is part of it where it's like, go, let off, go, let
off.
You
have to take time for
both. Or else I'll burn out. And that's why I feel like I've been doing this for 10 years without ever taking a break, even though I may have not been releasing music commercially.
You're still just wasn't pounding the pavement.
Right.
So what can we expect in this album?
So this album is going to be more cohesive.
Okay.
Obviously the Variety Show was intended to be the opposite, which is why bringing Jimmy in to produce with me was just like so important because of he offers that other perspective. Where he could see.
And he's written so many hits for country music too. So he's got a pulse on what's
working. It's almost like having an A&R and a producer.
He knows what works.
Yes, as your right hand man. Yes. And
so
he's
perfect.
You know, down to just like pulling everything together and the bigger picture beyond just the sonic part of it. I think he's very strategic and comprehensive there. But it's got like a cool little swag. It's R&B feeling, but it's a country record. And
if you were going to put yourself in company with three other artists that you would, that like they would not sound alike, but they would blend well together, who would you add to that collection?
I think there's, I mean, I love what Maren Morris is doing. Mm-hmm. I know that that's like not original. Everyone loves what Maren Morris is doing right now.
She's killing it.
I think she's really done a lot for just like pushing those boundaries. Carole King, I mentioned her already, but I think like those writing and the lyric intention behind her songs and that sense of self is really strong in there. I'm trying to think of a third, and I think it might be more like stylistically. Who am I thinking of? I don't know. I need to think of that. But there's like a, there's definitely an adult subject matter in some songs, but there's also on the other end, like I think I'm catering to a demographic that might be like the people who would listen to Taylor Swift too.
But I earlier like that on. There's adult subject matter because you're an adult, and
I'm an adult.
You know,
I'm an adult.
You're a married woman, and I think that there is a place for that. Like adults need music also that
they
can
relate to. I think Shania had this sensuality about her, but also was super fun and again really creative. Shania, it's like, oh, that's a risky one. No one loves Shania. Everyone loves Shania.
But she had to put herself out there.
Yes. And I think, you know, she was sexy and she wasn't afraid of that. And she was like a little bit of like country's Madonna.
Yeah.
She would reinvent herself. Mm-hmm. And I hope she would appreciate that as a compliment. But like, there is some, I mean, being powerful and in touch with your sexuality and your confidence and your intelligence and
not using your sexuality because you're like, oh, I want to like try to make everyone see how hot and awesome.
No,
it's because you feel good in
it's
yourself.
More, it comes from within. It's not.
And you're like
trying to get everyone out there to make out, but like
you feel good in your skin.
That's always a plus side. Yes,
I have actually had struggled that a little bit of just like embracing my sexuality because I don't want to be like, oh, I'm just trying to get all these people to think I'm so hot. Because that's not it. It's just owning your womanhood and feeling great
being
in your
feminine
skin.
And trust me, from the outside, it does not look like you have a problem with that.
You feel do not like either.
You look like you're having fun and you're lighthearted. And I think that that's also like my style, like fashion-wise, it's lighthearted. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with like, if you ever feel like you're getting too in a uniform, then I think that that goes from being focused to just being closed off and kind of regimented. And it works in a lot of aspects of life, but not necessarily for my music or what I put on to wear.
I love that you love fashion too, though. Like fashion is a big part of you, I feel like.
It is. I feel, well, yeah. And sometimes I miss, but I think that means I'm trying.
But you like really embrace it and go for it and like have really developed a style with it, which I love.
Thanks, Caro.
I love it. Even to your hair, the way you cut your hair, like it's such a statement. It's awesome. Like it's you.
Thank you. I think there's nothing to hide behind and it, you know, I get out the door a little bit quicker without so much hair. I used to spend 45 minutes when my hair was down to here. It was all like wavy because it was before I had processed it like this. It comes out of my head like this. Okay.
Oh yeah.
But, there's power to that too. I think it's just a different stage of my life.
It's owning yourself.
And I'd had it and enjoyed it. And there are times where I look at your like long, beautiful, luscious locks, beautiful. And
but,
I get a little jelly.
You rock it though. It's your thing.
Thank you.
It's totally your thing.
Thank you. It's fun. Nothing to hide behind.
Okay. So tell me. Obviously, a bunch of things are getting crossed off your bucket list this year.
Mm-hmm.
What is on your bucket list?
I would love to take Austin to Europe and go touring in Europe.
Well, that will definitely happen.
I don't know if that's... I want to be, you know, logical with the logistics of my touring schedule and when it's optimal to go there, but that is definitely something I'm going to do. Putting this album out will be a huge bucket list just to get that sophomore album out. I think that's one of the most daunting things for an artist is to be like, okay, I'm going to try this again. Let's do it. You know, continuing to play, keeping my band together. I know these sound not like lifetime achievement things, but those are my dreams right now is just keeping this momentum going. I would love to see Lady Gaga performing this song.
Oh,
Hopefully at the Grammys, you know, I'm not,
or winning a Grammy with her,
you know,
for
not
that
trying
song.
To be, yeah, yes, that'd be cool. I want to go to the Grammys next year, in 2018
and be nominated.
Yes. But I also like, I want to get back on stages where like I'm reaching a lot of people because that is what made me feel so alive. And it made me want to jump on social media every day. It was that rapport and I missed that. And I think that these last 2 years have felt more behind the scenes because of that. Mm-hmm. And I've still been touring and doing shows, but not at the rigor that I was before.
So you're ready to get back out there.
Yeah, I am. And I think, you know, first things first with the music and finishing this, but I think most of the content is almost written and then we go in and we tweak it and we work on that. But once it's written and laid down the first time, then I can go out and tour, tweak, go out and tour and come back and finding my home, I think, with the label, either here in Nashville or in LA, will be a big step for me because I haven't offered myself up for that.
Maybe you should
in
hit
a long
up
time.
Tony Mottola just for
yeah.
fun. In
hey,
the meantime,
Tommy.
No, Tommy.
What you went up to? Yeah. I don't think he's in management now.
But I mean, my just for fun.
Yeah. Yeah. This is what I've been doing since we last spoke.
Yeah. Just so in case you were wondering.
Yes. He might know. He might know what's going on.
He probably does. I bet he keeps the pulse on you.
We'll see. I'll reach out. I'll call him right when we're done.
Yeah.
Just ring him on a Sunday.
I love it. Okay, so I think, have we pretty much covered it all? Am I missing something? I mean, I'm missing a million because your life is so interesting.
Your life is so interesting.
Girl, you are the shining star.
But I do feel like it's such a walk down memory lane. I couldn't piece some of this earlier stuff together, and I think that's good. I feel like I've not suppressed it, but I've
moved on.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay, so I like to wrap up with leave your light.
Okay.
So leave some inspiration of how you have been inspired or how you would like to inspire people.
I have been inspired by a lot of people. My mom is definitely someone, and my dad, their support is crazy, unwavering. And I always mess this quote up, but it was something very memorable that she said to me over the phone where she says, I want you to write a book, and maybe I should, because then I'll keep my details straight when I'm telling people about my earlier years in my career.
Uh-huh.
She's like, write a book and act like I'm never going to read it. Basically saying, put every gnarly, dirty detail in
there.
That's
a great permission from your mom.
Yes. And we have a great relationship, my parents and I.
She just lets you be yourself and honest.
Right. And I think, yes, that comes with me being an adult now and all the things we've been through, because there's not a single heartbreak or celebration that, you know, my parents have been made aware of. But that was really cool permission to be given, because I think that if you're inhibited as an artist, some of the first people that will inhibit you are the ones that, you know, you want to behave around. And
absolutely. Everyone has that one person they think of first, yeah. And they're like, oh gosh, this person wouldn't approve of this behavior.
Right. But it's also, I think, her showing full acceptance of me and trusting in my integrity and my artistry that, you know, whatever I do write, even if it's a little bit, you know, out of the box, or if it pushes boundaries that I would find her to maybe raise an eyebrow at, that's still something that she wants me to put out there. And I think that's really empowering.
I love that.
Yeah. And my parents are crazy fun, so...
Do you have
I believe
any,
them when they say that.
Do you have any inspiration you would like to leave people?
Yes. I think that you, and it sounds really trite, but it's what we were saying. You can't get discouraged by the doors that are going to be slammed in your face, because that's going to happen a lot. And then you also can't not be present in the moments when the doors are open for you too. Because I think people take for granted when they're given access to great opportunities, but the things that stick with them the longest are like the painful memories and the
growing pains.
Yes. But I think if you appreciate both of them and you're present enough to realize when those things are happening, then you see the balance and you get patient with the bigger picture.
Oh, that is like Oprah would be like, oh my gosh, that's an aha moment. Like drop the mic. I'm telling
you. Oprah, I mean, Caroline Hobby.
That is good right
there. You're Oprah 2.0.
Hey, I would, that's my dream. That's my bucket list, is to do Super Soul Sunday with Oprah one day.
Yes.
Before I die, or before she retires, which hopefully she never does.
Before you die. Let's get it sooner than that, okay?
But, well, Maggie, thank you so much for joining me. I love you so much. I'm so excited about this year for you.
Me too.
I am too. It's going to be great. You kill it, girl.
You just got me ready for this year. I'm like, okay, I got to get to work.
This is it. Okay, yeah. Maggie Rose.
Peace.
Caroline, she's the queen of talking.
I hope you loved hearing from Maggie Rose. And y'all, pay attention, because she is about to blow up. Next week, I have Allie Ryan joining me. She is the hair guru to all of the stars. She opened up an amazing place called The Dry House in Nashville. It was the first dry bar that we had. She does hairstyle. She has about 20 employees that do the most amazing hair, all these braids, great curls. She also does guy's hair, and she does all the stars from Thomas Rhett and his wife, Florida Georgia Line and their wives. She does Dan and Shay, their wives. And she also does Jake Owen. She does Brittany and Jason Aldean. She does everyone. She does Little Big Town of Karen Fairchild, Casey Musgraves, Miranda Lambert. She colors and cuts all these stars' hairs, and we talk about everything. It is so great, and she believes in the secret and the power of positive thinking. So I'm so excited to have Allie Ryan joining me next week.